Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
Every year on the holiday of Simchat Torah, there are, in this community and other communities around the liberal Jewish world, as many of you know, who have come to Romamu before or another place, we unroll the entire Sefer Torah, the Torah scroll, so that the sacred words that are facing the inside as we hold it, we unfurl the whole Sefer Torah so that we can have a graphic image of the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah shoulder to shoulder. And seeing that full circle feels great. It allows us to see in a very concrete way what happens when we come full circle, what happens when the beginning of the story and the end of the story somehow connect. When something coheres, makes sense, there's a thread, and we stitch it together in the room, not literally but figuratively, two people standing next to one another, one with the end of the Torah, one with the beginning of the Torah, literally side by side within the inches of each other, almost you could see as if the finger of God was reaching out, almost touching the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah, somehow almost united. And that physical embodiment is an embodiment of a teaching of our sages who say that if you look at the last letter of the Torah, of the last word is Israel, Israel. It's the last letter is Le, is Lamed. And the first letter of the Torah, the first word, Breshit, is a Bet. That last letter is almost touching that first letter to form the word in Hebrew for heart, Lev, which is remarkable because it means that most of the year, except when we unfurl the Torah, the heart of the Torah is broken. There's a distance, there's a longing between the Lamed of Lev and the Bet of Lev. The heart itself is the rent asunder. Who could have known this year that this would be the year where the heart was so shattered and so radically broken? Who could have imagined the abyss that is so normally there would become a chasm beyond our wildest nightmares? There has never been a greater chasm coming into the Shabbat Breshit in our lifetime, a greater shattering of our collective Jewish heart than this Shabbat. And our tradition teaches us that that split is also represented in a way in the very unfolding of creation, the beginning of Torah, in the very order of creation. The beginning of Torah tells us, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning of God's creating heaven and earth, V'aretz hayta tov vavo v'choshech al pnei tehom, V'ruach Elohim merachefet al pnei amayim, that the land was tov vavo. Two strange words only appear one other place in the Bible, meaning completely chaotic, desolate, confounding. And there was darkness that was hovering on the depths of an abyss. And then out of that, the Torah says, Vayomer Elohim, and God said, Yi or, let there be light. Vayi or, and it was light. Our sages, our wisdom traditions say that before there was light, before there was creation, there was chaos. In later Midrashim, in later rabbinic sources, not only was there chaos and darkness, but God tried to create many worlds and then destroyed them. Said, no, not this one, or not that one. And then finally, alighting on this world that we're living in, it begins with chaos and with darkness, a pre-existent darkness that it comes before the light. We witnessed the darkest night imaginable this past week. What happened last Shabbat and Sunday defies anything we Jews have ever experienced in our lifetime. That it happened in Israel itself makes it that much more incomprehensible. The depravity of Hamas has never been a question as long as I've been around. It has never been a question. But even so, what happened last week reached a level we could never have imagined in our worst nightmares. The murdering of individuals by shooting them at point-blank range with rocket-propelled grenades. They slit throats, massacred babies. They gleefully recorded all of it, relishing in the public exhibition of their victory. Choshech al pnei tehom, darkness on the face of the depths. As we witnessed in the immediate aftermath of that dark night, supporters of Hamas celebrating in the streets of New York, on the campuses of venerated colleges and law schools. We witnessed tohu vavo, the utter moral confusion of moral equivalency and the double standards that we Jews have countenanced for generations. When you're down and you're weary and feeling low, I'm on your side, said the Jewish duo. How many colleagues have shared with me this week their incredible disappointment in their own allies in various spaces? People who were first to be here when Tree of Life massacre took place, the greatest massacre of Jews on American soil, but who waited days and days and still have not reached out. And I know it could be that they were busy with other things, but how many? The list is so long at this point. Friends of mine, people whom I marched with and protested with, people whom I invited into interfaith gatherings and broke bread with here in this sanctuary. Where are they? When by ratios, 30,000 Americans, imagine 30,000 Americans, 1,200 and counting, with 150 hostages, babies. Not a hello, how are you? The first question somebody told me he was asked was when he said that he was in mourning this week at a business meeting, someone said to him, I'm so sorry, do you have friends there and family? And he was taken, but the man was, his intentions were good. Do we have friends and family in Israel? We are Israel. The streets lined with names of these verses. The streets not lined with names of my great-grandparents. The streets of Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv. Do I have friends and family there? Does it matter? And should it matter? Before the war began, there were a few days, not minutes, days, where the atrocities were known. A phone call? An email? I'm thinking about you. How could it happen? Not the perseveration of political calculation, not the grandstanding, not the hindsight. Kishinev, Baba Yar, in Israel, with that is filmed with human beings relishing and publishing and telling us who they are. And there's a moral question when you're down and weary and feeling low. The darkness on the face of the abyss. As the Jewish community here in New York girded itself in the last 2 days for potential pogrom-like activities here as well. Our afternoon music session, readying ourselves for tonight, punctuated by Victor's drill, locking doors around our Romu Center across the street to make sure that there's extra padlocks. We've become so accustomed to it. Every Jewish center, every Jewish synagogue, every place, even in New York, has to have extra guards. So normal. Moment after moment, every single conversation I'm having with friends in Israel is that Israel and the Jewish people will never be the same, that we will forever think of what came before last week and what will come after. And shame on me, and shame on Jewish leaders for not expecting more of ourselves and from the very circles that we walk in. There will come a time for a great reckoning. It isn't now, but there will come a time for us to actually sit down together and analyze in what ways we missed the mark, how we could have missed the mark. But this week is not that time. And tonight and tomorrow and the coming days are not those moments yet. Our Chassid Rebbe said that the Torah gives us advice when there's darkness on the face of the abyss and when the heart is shattered beyond imagination. Vayomer Elohim, a Jew should say, Vayomer, out loud, say it out loud, Elohim, darkness. The word Elohim in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, is often a divine name that depicts dinim, judgments, and pain. So a person should say there is pain and judgment in the world. Yehi or, let there be light. Vayehi or, and then there will be light. And isn't that what we've witnessed this week? In the Jewish community that just a week ago was fractured by political division, with groups gathered on Moshe Shabbat and around Israel, now coming together in the most remarkable way, speaking to my friend Micha Goodman. He said the enlisting of Israelis, they expected 100%, they got 150%. 150%, they don't even have enough weapons in Israel now for all of those who want to throw their lot in. People on every block making kneels everywhere, showing up to say, Yehi Or, let there be light on the darkness of this abyss. People standing in airports and paying for Israelis to go home. Businessmen in hotels putting up 160 displaced families and footing the bill. The Jewish community, would that we didn't need crisis to remind us that we're one body. Would that we didn't need external reminders that no matter how vociferously and intensely we debate one another, we're one family. I sat this week with a group of Israelis who happened to be here this past week and a half because of a program run out of Hillel International. They're all students at the University of Be'er Sheva, and they came here to check out the diversity of the Jewish community here in New York and America in general, Philadelphia and other places. And I met them on Wednesday morning. And as we sat down, one of them got up to receive a phone call and came back and said that two of his cousins had been found and they had been murdered in the attack. And each one of them began to cry. We all started crying. Then they said, no, we're here on a mission. We have to learn about the beauty of the American Jewish community. We're on a mission. There's got to be a reason why we're here. You know, they're like, we can't accept that we're here. We don't want to be here, but there must be reason. So tell us about Romumu. So I started telling them about Romumu and about the Jewish community here. And one by one, they started saying how beautiful, how much light there's been this week for them. Yihor. In every community, not Romu, on the east side, the west, everybody coming together, Yihor, holding them, thinking about them, supporting them, trying to be with them in some way. Yihor, let there be light. Vayom Elohim, there's judgment in the world. Let there be light. Let there, Yihor. And one girl said, none of us here are going to be comfortable until we're back on our bases, wearing our uniforms and in our base, helping out. Because she said, Mi Yishmor. Who's going to watch over our community if it's not me? So I said to her, well, what about us? How can we help? She said, my father was wounded many years ago, and it was only through the generosity of the funds that were raised here in America that he survived. And she looked at me, and she was crying, and she said, you all saved my father's life. Yihor. She said, you can do so much from this side. You can gather, you can raise money, you can protest, you can send letters, and you can share your opinion, even as you think it is hollow. And so it is at this moment, just as the great Yehuda Amichai said so pointedly when speaking about the book of Ecclesiastes, which we just read on the holiday of Sukkot a week ago. He said, the book of Ecclesiastes has it wrong. It says, there's a time for this and a time for that. He said, there is no such thing. You have to cry and laugh at the same time. You have to make love and make war at the same time. And I would say we have to mourn and we have to speak at the same time. We are not allowed. We do not have the privilege, because our brothers and sisters don't have that either in Israel. They are funeral going and shiva going and crying and fighting all at once. And we have to do the same. We have to cry, but we also must speak, because our silence is complicity in the propaganda war against our people. And I will tell you something. Et chata'ai ani mazkir hayom. When I started Romumu, I said I'd never ever want a shul that focuses on the Holocaust and on Israel. I wanted people to come in here as a refuge, to be able to cry. I used to give interviews and people would say, what was the first thing you did when you started Romumu? I'd say, we bought tissues. I wanted us to cry together. I wanted us to laugh together. I want our hearts to be wide open. And that, my friends, it was a beautiful intention, but we don't have the luxury. We don't have the luxury any longer to be non-dual. We don't have the luxury any longer to be Jew-Boos and Hu-Jews and Hin-Jews and Sufi-Jews, the ideology of hate murdered atheists and agnostics. It murdered the founder of the great 929.org, which tried to get everybody in Judaism to learn one chapter of Bible, a day over the course of a couple of years. He and his son were killed, mothers, because they were Jews. In the beginning of God's creating heaven and earth, there was darkness on the face of the depth, the darkness of moral confusion, the darkness of trust rendered that has been revoked, the darkness of an idealism that is naive and a realism that was seen as cruel. The darkness on the face of the depths hovered. And so people of conscience and people of pride, people of heart and people of courage said, Yehi Or, let there be light. Lu Yehi Or, would that there would be more light. Would that all of us could get together again in the before what happened last week, sitting together with brothers and sisters, comrades in arms, saying, we're all human, only that the last 5 days has really asked us to consider whether when we say we are all human and they say we are all human, we are included in what they say when they say we are all human. Are we all human to you? And if we are, during those 48 hours that you sat by your keyboard and wondered, should I send my rabbinical colleague a message to say, I don't have words, whether you were caught by your own responsibilities or the football game or any of the myriad of other things that are going on, whether in that moment you still were walking the talk of, we are all human. We are all human. And there's not one person that I've spoken to that isn't perplexed to the point of absolute craziness over what lies ahead and what has already undergone, what already taken place, transpired. We are a moral country, Israel. We live and play by the standard of morality. There are aberrations like there are in any system, but let's not be confused at this moment. We don't have the right. We can't let them down. Vayomer Elohim Ye'or, it is upon us to hold one another, to be generous with one another, to help one another. And it is also upon us to bring light in every other imaginable way in the coming days. That girl, as she was leaving, she came over to me and she said, before we go, I want to give you something sweet from the land of Israel. And she brought over some halva. Lu yehi or.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu.